Central Piling are proud to sponsor the Breaking Ground podcast. It aligns with our goals of providing technical expertise, continuous improvement, and community engagement. These are things we've been striving for since our inception over 40 years ago. Some of the engineering achievements during that time include the design and construction of the foundations for West London's tallest residential building, complex 3D finite element analysis to facilitate the creation of a triple-storey basement, and damage impact assessments for underground assets on a rotary-cased piling contract. Our plant includes a wide range of bored piling machine sizes. These are continually being updated to ensure emission regulation compliance and efficiency. We're also able to offer driven precast and steel piling on selected contracts. To learn more about what we do and discover details of how we might be able to help you on your next foundation or retaining wall scheme, visit centralpiling.com.
Welcome to this special edition of the Breaking Ground podcast. This is hosted on behalf of the Ground Forum and Ground Engineering Magazine. We're joined today by four graduates who have relatively recently graduated from university and have all been on the Ground Forum undergraduate mentoring program. They'll tell you all about what to expect from opportunities within the industry, how to find a role, what's exciting about the role and the next steps in their career progression. To have this conversation, I'm joined by Kieran Jennings, who is the secretary of the Ground Forum and many other things besides. Hi, Kieran.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Now, just to kick things off, I'd like the guests to introduce themselves by telling me their name, the course they did, where they did it, and where they're currently working. I'm going to come to Aisha first. Hi.
My name's Aisha Baig. I completed a BEng, so a bachelor's in engineering, civil engineering degree with a year in industry. I had a dissertation which I specialised in basically the engineering properties of kaolin clay and how to improve them using various additive materials. With that, my current role is with Atkins Realis and I'm a bridges and civils engineer.
Okay, yep. Thank you, Steve, for having me in the show. So like you said, my name is Babo Nyele Nube. I usually go by Babo. I graduated at the University of Leeds in 2023, having completed a Master's of Science in Geotechnical Engineering.
Super. And you're working where now, Babo?
I am currently with Atkins Realis in Epsom, which is in the southern part of England.
Thank you very much. And I'll come to Harry.
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me on. I'm Harry Hooper. I am a graduate from the University of Portsmouth from the BEng Engineering Geology and Geotechnics course. And I'm now currently a graduate engineer at Ramboll.
Super. And Octavian, another Portsmouth grad, I believe.
Yes, that is right. It's often at these events that Portsmouth graduates wonderfully come together. I graduated from the geology course in 2022, and for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years, I've been working with Bugro as a geotechnical engineer.
Fantastic. Right, well, let's find out what inspired you to get involved and a bit more about your journey. So as we're with you at the moment, then Octavian, what was it that got you excited about geotechnics in the first place? Why did you see your future in this field?
Well, I really stumbled across geology and geotechnics by pure coincidence. I thought how great it would be for someone to see parts of the world and to be involved in projects that a lot of the world doesn't know about, but at some point will come into contact with that work. And it's the geology course came about from just doing a long walk in the Lake District. And I thought, wouldn't this be great if this could be my job? And from that moment, it's never been the same before. I joined the geology pathway. I started off in Plymouth and then moved on to Portsmouth during the pandemic. I thought it's the university, it's closer to home, and it was my first choice at the beginning. And from there on, it was through an open day where I met James Deacon from Fugro. And he really opened up my eyes into what geotechnics means, because before that day, I didn't know it was a field. And this is, I think, something so beautiful in the industry, that we've got such an array of different fields that overlap and have so many things in common, that it's just going from one to the other. And this was really my calling to geotechnics, is the work that's involved and what this means for the world as a whole.
Brilliant. Well, the natural environment can certainly be really inspiring. Harry, come to you now. How did you kind of end up in the role that you've got at Ramboll? I know you collected some really useful bits of experience on your CV along the way, which maybe you can touch on in your answer.
Yeah, so coming into this industry was sort of, again, I think by coincidence, because I initially applied for the course at Portsmouth through clearing, and I originally wanted to do something completely different. On the day of my results, I originally didn't get what I needed to do what I originally wanted to do. My next door neighbour, who had been a civil engineer, then turned geotechnical engineer in his career, he then sort of spoke about what he did in his life. He's been retired, I don't know, 10-15 years, and he was saying that basically the career that he had working as a geotechnical engineer across Hong Kong, Australia, pretty much Hungary, many places across the world, I thought that it is a great industry that I'd never heard about before, and seeing that you get to travel doing this job, so it was that initially drew me to it. Since doing the course, and whilst I was on the course, in my placement year, I worked with Ground Engineering magazine, working as a student editor, whilst at the same time I was part of the GFUMP scheme.
Yeah, what a great opportunity that must have been to really sort of get meet lots of people, get experience of different projects. I think they invite you out on some of the visits that the journalists do, don't they?
Yes, it was really beneficial. It really opened my eyes up to the industry. Obviously, as I didn't know about this industry before, then going on placement, having the knowledge of what it was like working for a ground engineering company, then going on these site visits to see pile cages where they import steel, and then they produce the steel reinforcement pile cages for D walls, for piles, for everything. It was really interesting to see, as it was just one of those things that I hadn't known about before. But going to the Ground Engineering Awards night was really good, to see all the achievements and great projects that are going on that you never see in your normal life. It was a really good experience. I'm so glad I did it.
Brilliant. And Babo, you've got quite an interesting journey, because you're not from the UK originally, are you? If I'm reading your CV correctly, you were brought up in Zimbabwe, is that correct?
Oh, yes, that's really correct. And funny enough, my story is actually similar to Harry's neighbour. So I graduated with a degree in civil engineering in Zimbabwe. And my first job was with a public electricity utility company that was expanding its power plant at the time. And I was lucky enough to get involved in ground investigations, shadowing the geotechnical engineer and spending some time with the drillers out in the field. And I found the whole process fascinating, seeing the whole data collected and reading the ground investigation reports, and watching how more experienced designers use that information to design foundations, of which at the time I had all the theoretical knowledge from my degree, but I didn't quite grasp how it all came together in practice. So it was still full of technical jargon, but then with that curiosity, it led me to apply for a master's in geotechnical engineering to build on what I had learned from my bachelor's and my industry exposure. And then from there, I must say that my passion for geotechnics really took off.
Isa, could you describe a little bit more about the role that you do within Atkins Reanalysis, please?
Of course. So it pretty much varies. For with Atkins Realis, they are a consultancy, but I found that I've been able to go on site a fair bit, mainly on like principal inspections, night inspections, substandard structure inspections, lots of inspections, basically. but also lots of calculations. So I've been involved in a fatigue assessment for Neathrow Bridge and Britain Ferry Dock Viaduct. I've been involved in the concrete repairs and design scheme for some of the A465 structures as well, and a netting repairs scheme for the Patelbert structures as well. So yeah, quite a varied mix there.
Yeah,
I am quite enjoying it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Good stuff. So what sort of structures are we talking about here?
So they're all bridges. They can vary in size and length and usage. Some of them are like really tiny culverts, which are usually inspected on like principal inspections. And some of them are massive, like ones for the A465. Some of the Patelbert structures are on the M4 as well. So pretty huge structures. And yeah, it's mainly monitoring them because they are substandard according to CS454. And yeah, it's pretty much just sticking to stuff like that, understanding it. CS470,
okay.
CS454 something else. just remembered.
Well, I wasn't going to pick you up on it because it's not a standard that I'm familiar with. But is it focused on the geotechnical side, or is it more of a structural role then that you've got these days?
No, it's focused mainly on like structures, bridges, you know, mechanics, stuff like that. I really like geotechnics, and that's why I specialized in it in my undergraduate degree. I found out about the ground forum through my dissertation supervisor in September when I told him, I love rocks. I love soil. Is there anything that I can do to get more experience? And he was like, yeah, there's this. Sign up for it before I send it out to everyone else. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. So signed up for it, managed to get in to the ground forum undergraduate mentoring scheme. And I loved it. It was incredible. Like you learn things A to Z. They prep you from like CV stuff, mock interviews, and you get like, well, they say that you can get 2 weeks work experience, but I was with GeoQuip Marine and they extended it to a month. And they said if I had more time and I wasn't joining another job, they would have just extended it for longer. It was just, it was amazing. You learn so much. It's very, very varied. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it was really good.
And clearly you did well with your during your mentoring period, because I think you were our inaugural mentee of the year.
I won the award. Yeah,
excellent. And I did see a picture on a feed of you getting presented with it. Well, what was the event that you went to?
It was the Federation of Piling Specialists Awards, and it was celebrating like sustainability, safety, innovation for tons of really cool geotechnical engineers. So I was sat there looking at all these people. I was like, oh my gosh, you guys do amazing stuff. And then like being able to receive my award at somewhere like with these amazing, innovative, sustainable people, it was just, it was a brilliant, very memorable experience. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, and Octavian, just come back to your experience during your mentee period, because you spent a decent amount of time with A Squared, didn't you?
That is right. Yes, I started off with Tony Suckling at A2 Design Studios, and I've gone up to London several times and done a couple of the site walkovers with him. And he's the first person. Tony's brilliant for the sense that if someone doesn't understand something, his first response is to sketch it out and draw it. And so after many drawings that he taught me different things, he then introduced me to his relatively new department then of A2 site investigation, where I worked with Darren Seeley and his team at the time. And again, like Aisha was saying, it should have really been a brief period that I was working with them, but it extended over several months, and I'm really very truly grateful for the opportunity that they have given me. I've learned so much, and there's no better place to learn GI than London, I think. And this has fed into really my passion for the industry is revolved around the London Basin. I think is phenomenal.
But there is quite a variety of soils within quite a small area, really. In fact I was on a site only 2 weeks ago, and A Squared were site investigation were there, drilling a hole, and I'll be looking at that SI report any time now. Kieran, I've not let you in for a question yet. I'm sure you're eager to ask our guests a few things.
Yeah, always. I mean, it's been great actually just hearing their feedback from you guys on the scheme, because it was a real labor of love, I think, putting it together, and quite a long journey to get to where we are today, where we're putting sort of 30 or 40 undergraduates through it each year, and each year it gets sort of, I think, better and better in terms of our understanding. So if that's a sort of past now, what I'd sort of love to get a perspective on, and perhaps Harry, you can start with this one, is on how you're sort of looking ahead to the future, and what you think the role that you're playing or how you sort of see yourself kind of contributing to the challenge of our times in climate change, for example, because I think this is a sort of big area for geotechnics actually, and people possibly don't realize the role that the industry has to play. So it'd be great to sort of get your sense of that, Harry.
Yeah, you're very right. I don't know, I did a couple of focus pieces when I was working as a student editor with Ground Engineering that I wrote about the importance of climate change and how a preventative way of looking at climate change is a better way than mitigation. It ought to be more cost effective, and as we know, it's now is the moment that we should be acting. And I think with my experience of working at Ramboll, we are very sustainability focused. Marla Gillow is definitely, I think, someone you all know of. You've heard she's a pioneer for sustainability, especially in Ramboll, but definitely in the industry as well. So yeah, I think we have a role to play in sustainability. We all need to look at how we can reduce carbon. As we know, carbon is one of the concrete and construction industry is one of the largest producers of carbon in the world. So it's our job really to look at how we play our roles and how we can really save our future.
Yeah, I think you can look at that as in two ways, can't you? One is, do you want to join an industry that is a big polluter? And there's no doubt it is in terms of producing carbon. But the other is, do you want to actually be part of the solution? You've got a great opportunity there to reduce carbon and reduce the impact on the environment. So for anyone listening and thinking about the environment and the potential career options, I'd always encourage them to get involved and play a part in improving the environment from the inside. So, yeah, let's kind of move the conversation on a little bit to the experience of the role day to day. I was just giving us a bit of a taste for her role, but Babo, what do you find most challenging in your day to day work?
Yeah, I think the most challenging thing is to understand what the client basically needs, because at times you go to the meetings, the client might actually detail that they want to solve this problem, but they might not know how to work around it. And working for an engineering consultants company like Atkins Realis, I think it is our then job to guide the client to the solution, because we have the expertise, then we need to provide that guidance. So I think the challenge mainly is understanding the requirements, knowing what the client wants, knowing the budget of the client, and trying to tailor your solution to provide really a pragmatic solution for the client. So yeah, I think that's been really, really quite challenging.
Yeah, because site investigation, I think, is a great example of that, because you could do a very cheap ground investigation report, couldn't you, with just effectively a desk study, and pull out some BGS boreholes that maybe are 2 or 3 miles down the road and put your logo on the front and send off the invoice. But it's but what does that tell you? Maybe that is enough, but in all likelihood it's going to be insufficient. So it's understanding what problem you're trying to solve. So let's say, for instance, you've you've got a low-rise housing, and you know that the ground is really solid ground at meter down, that there's no point doing a 50 meter deep borehole either, is there? So understand the problem, do that desk study, and sort of explain the next step so that your solution is appropriate. So I think that's where, particularly at an early stage in your career, you do sort of lean on the experience of your colleagues to guide you in making sure that the solution is appropriate. Harry, what are you finding most fun about the role you've been doing?
So the most enjoyable part for me is working in a global consultancy like Ramboll. We've worked on such a large variety of huge infrastructure projects. I'm currently working in the transport sector, and we've since I've been in the role, which is about coming up to 8 months, I've worked on projects involving airports, highways, bridges, buildings, marine structures, not just in the UK but in other countries. I've just recently, last week, came back from a three-day trip to Paris, where I was overseeing a grand investigation just outside of Versailles.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was a great experience. honestly, if you told me I was doing this a year ago, I'd bite your hand off, and I would not have expected it.
I'm just thinking with my businessman's hat on, why are you sending somebody over to Paris when you've got perfectly good engineers in France? But maybe you can explain that. Is that part of a program of experience provided by your employer?
So basically, Ramboll have different disciplines in different countries. And at the moment, Ramboll France do not have a ground engineering department or sector. They only prioritize environment and health. So we've had an international client come to Ramboll in France looking at this site that they're wanting to develop, and as they don't have a ground engineering department, they've gone to Ramboll Italy as their neighbor for carrying out this ground engineering work. But however, as an international client, they want their report done in English. So the Ramboll Italy team and our contacts over there have been in touch with me, and this is where I've been involved on the project.
You've lucked in.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And maybe just give us a taste of the sort of kit that they've been using out there and what's been involved in the investigation.
So, interestingly, I didn't know this before, as I'd not worked on a job in France, but to do their pile design in their ground investigation, they primarily focus on pressure meter testing rather than laboratory testing, which I didn't know before. So they don't currently have the national annex or Eurocode translated from French to English, so I had to do a lot of translating on Google Translate for the document. But it was interesting to know that we basically, when I was over there, we did some rotary coring and we did some lab testing just for our peace of mind. But we carried out, I think, 7 pressure meter tests, 5 rotary cores, and some trial pits.
It's really interesting. I've only ever worked in the UK, but I am aware of the use of pressure meters in France particularly. And the idea that one technique's used in one country and one in another, I think it's not exclusive to site investigation. You see similar things in the world of piling as well. So for instance, CFA piling, you see very little of that in mainland Europe. I don't know why, really. Their soils largely are very similar to ours. Of course, we share a code of practice now, albeit there are national application documents which tweak codes of the factors of safety and approaches in different techniques, but largely we're all working to the same plan. So I do find that intriguing. Octavian, has it seemed much to surprise you since you've started in the industry?
Yes. If this one thing that bothers me is how everything starts so early in the morning. If we could have everything start around midday, this would be fantastic. But crew changeover when we're doing 24-hour operations, 12-hour shifts on nearshore working, or if it's 8 a.m. or 7:30 induction on a site, everything starts very, very early in the morning. But it gets so much done at the end of the day. And if it wouldn't be for it, there wouldn't be as much pride in the work, I don't think. So it's that area of hardship that really makes it worthwhile. Although I dislike it.
it is tough going, getting up very early. But I think partly due to the distance, people are traveling quite often. And of course the light as well, just making sure you're making the best of the light. But certainly when it comes to the piling industry, sometimes people are traveling big distances each day. So you kind of got to get ahead of the traffic. So it is beneficial to have that early start. So there might be some readjustment required for the students listening to this podcast. certainly on a Thursday morning, which was usually the Wednesday night being the big night out for me. I don't know if that's still the case.
We should mention that they usually finish quite early on the Friday, though, so there is a benefit there.
That is true. Yeah. There's definitely an upside, and I think we're seeing a lot more flexibility in sort of locations of work. I can see. Well, Octavian's phoning in from Malta, but
other places are also available.
But I think Harry, it looks like you're possibly at working from home today. but there is more flexibility than there has been in the past. So I think that should attract more people into the industry. Maybe unless Kieran wants to come in with anything at this point. Oh, Octavian has got his hand up.
Yes,
go ahead.
Although I did mention the working hours and the locations we'll work from, like Harry's working from his place, I'm working from somewhere else. I think what's beautiful about the industry is the contrast that we get in the work that we do, where one day we can be at some very nicely dressed up event in London, and then the next day we are out on site somewhere doing something completely different. And it's just the industry where it allows for both of these things to happen within the same week is something that I find massively, massively rewarding. And for this reason, I wouldn't ever like to change than this industry.
Yeah. So I think most people that are in geotechnics like getting their hands dirty from time to time. But who doesn't like an evening out getting dressed up as well? I think most people do. So I think more general points to move on to now is around sort of professional development, how you've seen your role progress, what assistance that you've been provided with within your organisations, just to give the listeners a real sort of taste about how you move forward for your career. So the undergraduates on our mentoring program, they'll have CV workshops and interview workshops. Probably the next step is actually to talk more about professional development post graduation. So Aisha, from sort of landing within your business, what's the next steps? Did somebody grab you and say, right, you're sitting down with me for a week and we're going to go through this? Is there like a structured training program? Talk us through how it sort of explained to you and how it's going.
Okay. With Atkins Realis, there is a very well-structured training program. It goes on for 3 years. And it's quite in-depth. It's pretty good. It helps you both. Well, they want us to get chartered with the ICE, preferably. So they have a whole program centered around, right, these projects will help you get these abilities signed off. And if you're missing some abilities and we'll give you work to sign off those. One example is a lot of stuff to do with costing and stuff like that. That's quite hard to get as a grad engineer, but they make a very, very big point of putting you in that stuff early so that you can build up that experience pretty much from day one. But I would say that there is, especially with bigger companies, I have noticed that you need to have that initiative as well. If you don't say, I want to do this, I want to put myself forward for this, you will be washed out a bit, I think. I found that in my first few 2-3 months, whilst that program was still there, I felt like, well, I want to do more. I'm not feeling that these qualities are excelling as quickly as I think I can. So then I asked my manager, I asked him, right, how do I get more experience in management? I want to understand this a bit better. I want to excel these skills a bit better. What can I do? Lo and behold, at the same time, an email circulated around for the Association of Project Management. It's basically a team challenge in Wales where you work with 5 other graduate managers basically from different companies, and you're serving for the client of Transport for Wales, and you're going to try and deliver a successful project proposal for basically enhancing social value. That's basically what it is. So it was a very competitive program. I wrote my heart out in the email saying why I should be picked, and luckily I did get picked. So then I've been working on that for the past few months, and it's honestly been brutal. I think it's, you need to be very, very good with managing your time as well. If you want to make these commitments, if you want to put yourself forward for these things, you need to be organized. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very hard and things can get messed up very quickly. But yeah, it's amazing. I think this company is very good for seeing that opportunities are out there. And as long as you put yourself forward and you really vouch yourself, no, you will get for them. Like, you no, will get
that
them.
That sounds brilliant. It sounds like they're really well set up to, like you say, if you push for those opportunities. And I think it's really important to, as a graduate going towards chartership, to make sure that you organize it for your manager and say, these are the gaps in my in my training currently and the attributes that I need. So just yeah, as a before you come in, to explain, so the Institution of Civil Engineers, if you want to become a chartered engineer, there is a program with a list of attributes you need with various different levels. So let's say, for instance, you need show technical excellence in a particular topic, or demonstrate thorough understanding of safety regulations. There's a whole raft of these things, and you kind of need to tick all these boxes before you complete the program.
I did also want to say that with bridges as well, I like bridges, but also, as you can see in my necklace, I'm very eager about rocks. Awesome. Love them. So I expressed this to my engineering manager. And he was like, you're the designated rock person in our team, right? What can we do for you? And I was like, oh, okay, what can we do for me? So I managed to design my first ever freestanding wall. It's only yay high, about like a meter tall. But I got to design the like footing for it. I got to see like wind actions and stuff, and that was pretty cool. But then I said, okay, right, I've designed this little wall. What else can I do next? And he was like, okay, right, you can look at scour design for this pile cap that's like basically very rugged. And yeah, you can help us design that. And I was like, this is awesome. Absolutely.
It's like
making sure you always, like, if you want something, just show how like ecstatic you are about them, and people will be like, yes, absolutely. I think especially with a company like this, they want to give you what you want, you know, because if you do what you like, if you do what you want, you will do well. That's what I've noticed.
Okay. Yeah. So, this could be awkward now, because I'm going to ask Babbo. And Babbo works for the same company as you do. So let's see if there's commonality between departments and offices. What do you think, Babbo?
I think basically what Aisha has already told us, Atkins Realis have this structured training scheme, which is designed to basically help the LA carriers become chartered. So of which you enter the scheme by signing a training agreement and allocated a delegated engineer or a supervising civil engineer, or people who will mentor you and see you through that whole training, or get to see you become chartered. And then also when it comes to professional development, AtkinsRéalis is really big on that because they usually share updates, maybe being depending on the department, with the weekly updates that there is probably a CPD happening elsewhere. There is this networking event, maybe the BGA networking event, an ICE networking event, or maybe a ISSMGE networking event, and they're encouraging people to get to those events, network, and learn more with what's happening in the industry, which is what I like about this company as well. And then there's
Sorry, I was just going to say, I'd noticed from your LinkedIn profile that you've been involved with the BGA, which there are lots of BGAs, which you'll come to know within the within the geotechnical sector. But the one that I think you've been involved with is the British Geotechnical Association, which is effectively a branch of hopefully I'm not misunderstanding a branch of the Institution of Civil Engineers, albeit there's also close links to the Geological Society as well. There's a lot of overlap, but the I know the that BGA do have a early careers group that is very active. So have you been involved with that, Babo?
Oh, yes. So during the Grand Forum Undergraduate Mentorship Scheme, my mentor advised me to express interest in joining professional bodies and volunteer in these professional bodies. So I expressed an interest as one of the committee members in the earlier careers group, which basically gets to bridge a gap between the executive committee or maybe or professional members with the early career professionals. So yeah, I volunteered as a Quilliam Prize representative, which is basically a competition of early career ground engineering professionals who want to showcase their research work. So yeah, it's been really fulfilling and a rewarding role, which is unfortunately coming to an end because I think this will be like my second year in the role. But yeah, it has been really exposing, like in terms of what the industry offers, other than what I do in AtkinsRéalis, because there's a lot more. And yeah.
Yeah, there's tons out there in the BGA. Just to name check a few of them, there is the Quilliam Prize, which is for younger engineers, as you mentioned. There is the Rankin Lecture, which is the big high profile lecture once a year at Imperial College. That's usually somebody that is like some high flying academic. Most of it is a struggle to understand, to be honest. But if you take some key points from it and meet some like-minded individuals at the event, then that is definitely worth attending. The John Mitchell Lecture was recently held, and that was with a friend of mine, Yvonne Ainsworth, who's actually been on the podcast in the past as well, and she's got a lot of experience within the ground engineering sector. But there's always every year that's delivered by a high profile individual. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of awards there. Is there a Skempton Award?
Oh, I think there might be. Yeah, there are a few, aren't there? It's quite well served as a sector, I think, in terms of those opportunities and those areas. But but I was really pleased actually just to hear Aisha and Baba also sort of picking up on a point I think I made in the webinars that we've done for the mentoring scheme, that people will really get behind you if you bring your passion and enthusiasm to the industry. And I do think ground engineering is really, really open to that, and it is great to sort of to sort of sit here, see your success, all of your success as a result of that. Well, one question I was going to ask, though, if I may, was actually what was your sort of experience of the mentoring itself? And again, perhaps come to you, Harry, because we've not spoken to you for a couple of questions here. So do you want to talk a bit about what that experience was like and how it helped you and so on?
My experience with the mentorship scheme was very, very helpful in the fact that my mentor, Gavin Seeley, who was at the time working for Buckinghamshire Group, a contractor in the industry, it was something that I didn't know about, because when I worked on placement, I was working for a small ground investigation consultancy just outside of London, and I didn't really understand how the ground investigation then linked to design and then how it worked when it came to the actual construction. So when speaking with Gavin, we had, I think, fortnightly catch-ups or maybe monthly catch-ups. Any questions that I'd have about the industry that I didn't understand or didn't know, I was able to go with him about anything, and he was happy to help. But I also had... Gavin gave me really great help with the mock interviews skills, my CV workshop, my working on cover letters, albeit I didn't get to have my work experience with Buckinghamshire Group in the end as they went into liquidation. He did actually help me get a 9-week summer placement with Ramboll, which then I ended up completing, and they offered me a job at the end of it, which is how I'm now a graduate engineer at Ramboll. So the mentorship scheme really, really worked for me, as I was able to develop the skills necessary, the knowledge necessary, that eventually gave me, or ended up giving me, a job with Ramboll. So it worked very well.
That's great to hear the success of the scheme and your obviously your own success. Octavian, Harry mentioned there about being linked to a contractor. Food grower cover multi-disciplines, really, don't they? But part of it is contracting offshore. I mean, that must be really interesting for you. And I'm thinking, particularly with an eye to the sort of professional development side of things, you're kind of ticking a lot of boxes within one organization.
That is true. Not only within one organization, but also within one project. So on one of the jack-up platforms we have a new layout now, which allows all of the different service lines to be around the drill deck. And it's just so phenomenal when we're setting up for the project and I'm in the lab setting up all the stuff that we need for the logging and the lab testing, and then go over to the next container over, and it's the people from the CPT department, and we just have a check-in with them and run over the borehole progression plan. And next door is the guys from the HPD department or the wireline geophysics, and it's like just fantastic to go from one department to the other and share ideas and just kind of talk through the whole project and iron out any concerns that there might be. And when the client is with us as well, this is something that they thoroughly enjoy. And then, of course, we've got all of the support in the office as well. So it's fantastic for networking.
Yeah, we're here because of the mentoring scheme. I was also thinking, when it comes to support, have you got a mentor now? Is there somebody with it that's specified within Fugro? Right, you're Octavian's mentor. How's it work?
Yes, so we do have a scheme in Fugro that all of the graduates are put on, and I found it useful. But what's beautiful about how the company system works as a whole is that if someone wants to go off piste a little bit from the scheme, then that's very welcome. And I'm very fortunate to have two supremely awesome people that I can call my mentors in the department now. One is Melanie Zeiss, who's the manager for the department, and then another is Wakis Latif. And these two people have really been able to shape my career up until this moment. And I'm sure I'll name drop another person later on in the podcast. But it's so phenomenal to have people that I can call mentors. And by and large, the person I am now in the industry is thanks to the mentors that I've met along the way. And I'm very grateful for all of them.
Yeah, I think there's different ways to have mentors. And I think we do it in a very formal way through the GFUMP scheme, but you can also do it in quite an informal way. They don't even need to know they're a mentor. So you just somebody that you phone up from time to time and say hi, and maybe have a little bit of a chat about their career, your career,
yeah.
Next steps. It doesn't have to be something that's written down on paper. It can just be somebody you admire that maybe is willing to listen to you for half an hour over a pint.
I think a lot of career progression comes through the word yes, where you just share an idea with this other person and either they offer something that the mentee would just have to say yes, or they encourage a different thought, or they encourage the person to say yes to the other opportunity. And I've noticed this with my career so far, where things just sort of line up and it's so fluid and easy going forward. I really can't see any ceiling in the industry at the moment. And I hope the other people in the call could can confirm this as well.
Yeah, that sounds exciting for you. Harry, what's the next steps for you? Do you have a 5-year plan?
5-year plan. I don't know how quickly you can get chartered or whether you can in 5 years, but I'll give it a go. Yeah, so for me, I sort of, like Octavian's just said, any opportunity that I think is beneficial to me, I always think to say yes, and obviously have a think about it first. Does it suit you? Is it what you want? But absolutely get involved in any opportunity that comes your way that you see will be beneficial to you. With Ramble, we monitor our progression by doing performance and development goals every year. We look at what we review what our goals were for the previous year. We look to see how and if we if we achieve those goals, and then we look forward to the next year and how you can improve in different ways, perhaps not to do with ground engineering, but maybe project management, like Aisha's previously mentioned. If you are proactive and you are willing, you will get your development that you want. And I think the GFUMP scheme is a great way to start because it's something new.
Okay, well, hopefully one of these days some of our guests will be mentors themselves to the next set of undergraduates. But I think unless there's anything else that our guests would like to bring up, that brings us to a natural conclusion of our conversation today. But I'm sure I'll be seeing all of you on industry events in the not too distant future. So thank you very much for joining us.